Hello, everyone, and welcome. So, has everyone got a seat? Do we need more seats? No, we're here. Good. So, welcome to a slightly different Grace Church together. As you'll know, we were supposed to be doing Pentecost in the park today, but that was cancelled. Some logistic issues with the grandstand, the bandstand thing, I think. I'm not sure why that was cancelled, but that was cancelled a few weeks ago. So it's good. It gives us an opportunity to gather here together. And one of the things we've been wanting to do was do a sort of a little overview of the sort of story of Grace Church, just little snippets. So, I mean, I was at the Baptist church where they've got a new minister who's like their youth pastor, and I was at the service for that a few weeks ago. And part of what Paul Lewis did in the service was, this is the Baptist church up to this point. So this is where we've come and this is where we are. And I thought that's a really good thing. I don't think we do that much, and they did it. And I thought that's an excellent idea, especially for people that haven't been there like myself from the beginning. We're not going to be here all day. We're just going to do little snippets along the way. But essentially, we're all in a story, aren't we? So we're in a story personally. We've got our own story, our own narrative of our own lives and our families. And we as a church are also in a story. So Grace Church has a story of its own, has a narrative of its own. And we're all part of that. Everyone here that's part of Grace Church is part of that story of Grace Church. And then, of course, there's the bigger story of what God's doing in the world, and basically bringing everything under the lordship of Jesus. And that's the great story. But Grace Church here has a story, has a narrative of which we're all part. So what we wanted to do today was a brief, this was the start of Grace Church, which Steve's going to do, just a bit about the beginning of Grace Church. I'm going to do a little bit more of a personal testimony, really, about when I came to Grace Church and a few things since I've been here. And then Ben is going to sort of bring us up to date with where we're up to now and where we sort of see things going forward into the future. So we hope we're going to be half an hour, 40 minutes, something like that. And then it'd be good to have a time of praying at the end, sort of prayer worship at the end. So I'll hand over to Steve. Yes, I have. So if anyone's got little ones, there's some toys over there. They're welcome to stay here, obviously. You can play with toys and they'll play with them wherever. Yeah, that's it.
I'll just pray for us to start. Yeah, Father, I just want to thank you that, all over the world, your people gather together and meet in places like this and in other settings. And Jesus, that your plan is that you're bringing people from every nation, tribe and tongue together. And that is your great unifying plan for all of your creation, Jesus, that you're bringing it to some conclusion. And Father, I just want to invite your presence here again. We just welcome you, Jesus. We welcome you. We're 2, 3 gathered in your name. We welcome you. Father, we just ask that you would bless our time together. And Father, I just pray for mutual encouragement for each one of us. If we come together, that we build one another up, Father, that's what you've called us to do as a people. So, Father, I just ask for that in your precious name. Amen. I wanted to start just very briefly. I felt like God has... over the few years, you know, the last sort of 10, 15 years, God has been, you know, all the time bringing back to the parable of the sower. And I spoke on it last year over the summer. And I just wanted to read it again because it's really spoken to me over the years. And it goes like this. Listen. A farmer went out to plant some seeds, and as he scattered them across his field, some seeds fell on a footpath, and the birds came and ate them. And other seeds fell on shallow soil with underlying rock, and the seeds sprouted quickly because the soil was shallow, but the plants soon wilted under the hot sun, and since they didn't have deep roots, they died. And other seeds fell among thorns that grew up and choked out the tender plants, And still other seeds fell on fertile soil, and they produced a crop that was 30, 60, and even 100 times as much had been planted. Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. And Jesus then goes on to explain the parable, and he talks about the seed being his word, and his word going out, and the fact that it represents that message going out across the world, and people will respond differently to it. And I'm not going to go into the detail. If you want to read it, it's all in Matthew 13. You can read the detail. But what has come out for me is in the last 15 years, really, more and more, is just that actually you can't predict where the seed falls. And actually, God has just encouraged that you are to be a faithful sower. And I've brought some seeds here with me, and I just look at them, and I look at the size of seeds, and you just see they're tiny little things. But there's like hundreds of them in this little package. And actually, it's about casting them out and faithfully casting. And God is the one that does the rest. And I'll come back to really why that sort of leads into my story and the story of being part of Grace Church. So Grace Church has been going for 15 years now. So it started at the end of 2004. So some people moved from various churches in Birmingham and started the church, and one of them was my brother Robin and his family, and then a year later Mifflisty and myself, Robin approached us. We were living in Oxford, and he said, do you want to come up and join and be part of the church plant? Basically he sold a vision to me of what he wanted a church to be, or what he wanted the church to be. And it was a church that was reaching unreached people. It was about the unchurched people of Bromsgrove and reaching out into the community and seeing them come to know Jesus and follow him. And he basically said, and the thing about this is, we're going to do this together, and we're not going to do it sort of just as individuals, but actually in twos and threes, big groups, whatever, but we're going to go out into our community and be very much part of it, but be a community and a family doing that together. And the other thing that he said to me was, he said, and the thing about this is that it's going to be a place where actually people who just don't fit in, who just feel excluded or marginalised, are going to be welcome to be part of that. I was at that time, we were in Oxford, and I was desperate to be part of a church that did that. I myself had become a Christian about 6 years, 7 years before that. And I just knew that actually, if people hadn't gone out and shared the gospel with me, I wouldn't be in church. I wouldn't be following Jesus. So I was desperate to be part of it. So we came up, we moved up here. And so in those sort of that first, so that was within the first year of Grace Church being around and gathering. And I wonder, just out of curiosity, who here was around that time in Grace Church in 2000? So Phil, Ellis, Thompson's. So, yeah, and you started meeting up in people's home. You were meeting initially in a home, and then we met up in one of the schools. And some of the people were living in Bromsgrove before then. Who was living? You, Thompsons, were living in Bromsgrove. So, and actually, it was just about gathering some people and then going out and meeting other people who weren't part of the church, who weren't linked with it. And the vision was to go out and make friends with those people and love them like Jesus would love them. And it was quite simple, but actually, it started to work. And when me and Flisty came up here, we were at a stage of life where we didn't have kids, so it was quite different. We'd come from Oxford, and there were lots of bars, and we'd go out in the town on the night and stuff like that. When we came to Bromsgrove, the only bars were fish bars. It was a bit different. It's got a few bars now, but it was a bit different. But actually, what we loved about it was a community that loved one another, and it loved the community around it. And, and we had some prophetic words back then that have been key for us as a church in how we do church and how we reach and fulfil the mission of God. And one of them was one, Kath Wallace brought a word about it was like us forming a net and building a net together. And it was the picture she had was people on the shore stitching and carefully stitching a net together, and then actually fishing as a community. And that was a really important word. We had another word about a people that were on a beachhead, and that actually, thinking about D-Day this week, and that's the picture that always comes to mind. And actually, people, when they landed on those beaches, some of them were in their unit, but other people were just landed on the wrong beach, but actually they just got stuck in. And then part of that word was that also on the beach there was a field hospital. And the purpose of the field hospital was to take people that had washed in, maybe not in the best of states, and they were being equipped and ready to go out and do and fulfil the mission of God. And these words were sort of profound for me in terms of how we do reaching out, how we do mission, how we do what it means to be the church in Bromsgrove, or a church in Bromsgrove. And so we had times where we had barbecues and we had comedy nights, and there was some of that stuff sort of organised like corporately, and some of that was brought together in that way, but it was also stuff that just happened naturally and organically through relationships. So I, you know, remember going to Sally's birthday party, and it was just amazing to be in a room where half the people there were from the church and half the people were not from the church at all. And they were all mixing, and they all knew one another, and it was relationship, and it was love, and people felt loved, and there was a sense of community in that room. And so, for me, over the years, that has been the thing that has kind of stirred me. But then also for us, our circumstances changed. We had two children, so they've been born into Bromsgrove, and they're now part of that. And they didn't choose to move to Bromsgrove, but actually they're here, and God has called them to do part of that same thing. And I guess for people that have lived here, that's the way I see it, is that whether you're born here or you move in, God has got a purpose for you in it. But one of the things God then spoke to us about was moving into the estate in Charford, and specifically about reaching out into that estate. And I was kind of thinking about our life group that's now in Charford, and I was excited because actually not one of the people that was in our life group, I'm just going through them, was actually, it was one person that was in a church or whatever in Birmingham, but actually not one person was in church, was a follower, you know, they were followers, but they weren't part of a church, but there were others that have not been Christians that have become Christians. And I'm excited by that, because I think that's growth. Just like my own little family has grown, that's growth. But also, excitingly over that time, for me, it's also part of the vision was about going to the ends of the earth. And I think what has really encouraged me is just to see how we've seen that happen and evolve. So thinking about Phil and Kath, when I met Phil, and he'd never been... Where had you been, Phil? To Norway, wasn't it? He'd been to Norway on a ferry or whatever, and then going to Uganda, and God's purposes in all of that, and where he is now. And I just think, that is incredible. That is amazing that he's matched him with this amazing woman. And they've now got their little boys, and they're all doing fulfilling the mission as part of Grace Church. And I think of the relationships that we've had in Japan, and when we supported people from Japan coming over to be part of the bigger family of churches that we're part of. So, and that excites me in terms of fulfilling what God's called us to. But it comes back to me in terms of how you do this. And I put the values up at the end there, because Robin at the outset said, I've got this sort of vision and I've got these values. And for me, the values have been precious, because the values are when you build or how you build, the values are the thing you measure against. So actually, if you're not measuring against the values, then actually what you're building may not be something that lasts or whatever. So I've always come back to the values that we've got as Grace Church, because I think they're really precious to us. So the things like about how we do things, and the fact that now we go a church weekend, and that weekend we make sure that people from every financial means can come on that. That's a precious value. The fact that we have a hardship fund, which some you may or may not know, but many years ago we all as a church gave into that. And actually, we got, I think, something like £14,000 to help anyone that got into some financial difficulties due to the recession. And God has been faithful in how he's helped us use that fund. So I sort of look back over it over the years, and Jonathan had asked me to kind of reflect on it. And I think of times when actually It is like the seeds, because we've seen people in our own life experience that have become Christians, started to come to church, but then they've drifted away or we've lost contact with them. But we've seen people move and church plant elsewhere. So my own brother left, and he felt God stir him to move and church plant in Swansea. I've also thought of all the little seeds that we've sown. I can think of a time with Matt Thompson going to a lady's house and replacing locks because of domestic abuse at the property. And I can think of a time sharing my faith with a homeless guy, and another time when someone else put a homeless guy up in their house, and their neighbours, who were quite well-to-do, we just couldn't get their head around it as to why someone would do that. And all the time, I think of Christine Longdon. She used to do these baby baskets, and the number of people we've given them out to, and they're just like, well, why do you do that? It's just because the church, as a church, we love the community that we're part of. And we've seen people baptised that weren't following Jesus. We've seen that. And as I say, it is like seeds, though. It's all a little bit like not how you'd like it to be. It's not that plan that you kind of hoped. When we moved to Charford, we had a vision. We'd be there for so many years, and then we're there 10 years down the line. But God has been faithful in what he's done to it. And I suppose that's the thing that struck me around all of this, is that that's how it should be in the church. The church isn't an organisation, it's an organism. It should grow, it should change. I look at my own fact, the Vincents themselves in Grace Church were my brother and his family. Me and Felicity were added, then May and Joel were added, but now he's now moved on. And churches and families, that's how it should be. There should be change. And God has been speaking to me recently about this idea of him being a gardener and pruning and repotting. And actually, in order for a garden to flourish, and I'm no gardener, but I've done a little bit of reading around pruning and stuff, but actually pruning is a necessary step to ensure reflowering happens effectively. And repotting is necessarily, apparently, because actually sometimes the flower's in the wrong place. It's not getting as much shade as it needs. It's not getting enough sunshine. And so you create space or you move it and stuff. And God is the master gardener. And I just think, for me, for us, the thing is, we come back to the values and we come back to that. We are seed throwers. Are we safe? Faithful seed throwers. And what that means is, I did an illustration of, if you want to try and get the seed on the right part, then actually the way you do that is you just throw more of the stuff. You throw more, and then more lands on the right part. The point of that parable isn't that you can necessarily target it on the good soil, because you don't know where that is. It's more about, actually, you just throw more of the seed. And as a family, as a church, I just come back to those words and saying that God has spoken through them. And I know I'm here because there's a bit in Acts 18, verse 10, where Paul is in Corinth, and we've been looking at Corinth, and the bit before the letters, really. And he's in Corinth, and he's a bit discouraged. He's seen some success, but he's a bit discouraged. And then God speaks to him and says, there's more people in this city. And Paul stays another 18 months there. And for me, I know God hasn't spoken to me about moving postcode or whatever. So I know God's got more people in this town, more people, more work for us to do. And my encouragement going forward, and as I say, I've been really looking at the past, is to think that actually, have I got faith for that? Have I got faith that Jesus has got people out there that he wants to reach and speak to and minister to, and we're his hands and feet to do that? So I'll shut up there, but hopefully that. I have all the prophetic words of the church going over the years that we felt are significant. If anyone wants to kind of read through them, or I can send them out to you, that might be kind of an encouragement if you're newer to the church or haven't heard some of those or want a refreshment on them.
So that's us at the start, for those of you who weren't here. So part of this came around, and I asked Steve to do that, because when I was at the Baptist Church, I was sitting there, and Paul Lewis was talking, and loads of the church were there, and I was thinking, this is a great church. Everything that Paul Lewis was saying was fantastic. And the question in my mind popped up, why is Grace Church here? Why aren't we all part of another great church like that? What's different? What's Grace Church's role in Bromsgrove that the Baptist Church isn't, in a sense? Then I think God does give different churches almost different personalities, or certainly different callings in an area. Because actually, the Baptist Church is great. I really enjoyed this, and I loved everything Paul was saying. And a lot of the stuff was obviously very similar about being out in the community and reaching people. But there's a different, and hearing some of that is different from what Paul was saying. Paul Lewis was saying. So for me, that's what triggered this. Really, it's okay. We're here as Grace Church. Why are we here? Why aren't we all just together with somebody else? What's that? What's us as Grace Church? And I just wanted to say a bit about our story, I suppose, as a family coming here. We've been in the church now probably 10 years, maybe 9, 10 years. I couldn't remember exactly, but I'm conscious we've all got stories. We've all got a journey with Grace Church. Every single one of us here has. And I think the church weekend next weekend will be a great opportunity to be sharing some of that, because I think it's great to hear. And one of the things that's always struck me is about remembering our past, because I'm not very good at it. In general, I don't think we're very good in this sort of generation. We don't do. When you look in the Bible, they're always looking back and remembering. And I think for me, that's really important to keep doing that. Not just where I was, but actually the journey that I've been on. Because you can easily become quite blinkered as to what it is now, and you forget everything that God's done in your past and where He's taken you and brought you from, and also just the different people as well that you come across. But we moved here to Bromsgrove about nine years ago, and very different from Steve when he moved to Grace Church. We basically were quite washed up when we arrived here, so we didn't feel like, we certainly weren't people storming the beach like D-Day. We were more like the guys just basically washed up on the beach. We were living in Chester for a few years, and then Claire got a job down in Birmingham. This was a year after Josiah was born. I was working and living in Liverpool, and Claire was living in Solihull. So for about a year we were separate, until we eventually got a house here in Bromsgrove. And that all had its effect on us as a family, and also not being part of a church really for all that time. And we turned up one day and we thought, right, after about a year and a half living in Bromsgrove, right, we've really got to join a church. We turned up at Grace Church and it was a scattered. So the whole St John's was closed. There was no one there. So we thought, all right, okay. But that was on the Sunday. And then the following Saturday, we went to a friend's wedding. And who should be there but Ben and Sally? And it wasn't long having talking to them before they said, oh, we're part of Grace Church, weren't we? So we came along to Grace Church. And I think the thing that struck me most was, and I think it was because of where we were in life, just how welcome we felt that we could just, there was no expectation, there was nothing. We just turned up and we were made to feel completely welcome right from the start. I still remember Matt approaching us and saying, do you want to come and join our life group, be part of our life group? We hadn't even decided to join the church, and it was like, you could just be involved with us. You don't have to make a commitment to us for us to love you and welcome you. You can just come on in. And that was a massive thing, really, for me. I remember Hugh. Does everyone remember Hugh? Anyone that was here on his guitar with his little drum going as well? It was like a one-man band. Brilliant. So it was Hugh banging away on his drum. But it just was a group of people that loved Jesus. That's what he turned up for. It wasn't about. One of the other things that struck me was how involved in the community folks were. Not necessarily activities or events, although there were those, but just generally involved. People knew people. People were involved in clubs. People were involved in other things. Paul Norris had set up an astronomy club. There was stuff people were doing in the community and just knew people. And that, for me, was different from some churches I've been in, where it tends to be quite insular and not looking out. So things like that were apparent right from the start. And I suppose, and that's part of the reason why we joined. We felt loved and we felt welcomed here, and there was no onus on us to be doing anything. It was just people that were here that were just loving us. And at that time, for us as a family, that's what we needed. We needed that time. Basically, we were just, as I say, felt just pretty washed up and washed out and just needed that time to recover. And over the years, there's been comings and goings. A lot of people come, a lot of people go, and ups and downs. And I suppose the other thing I wanted to mention was one of the key points was when... It was when Paul Norris was here, and there was a time when there were six of us in a room. It was me, Steve, Jared, Moz, Ben, and Paul. And Paul shared what he felt God was putting on us for us as a church. And he read out Isaiah 61. And I remember each of us that was in that room. I think you were there, Moz, weren't you? I think you were there, weren't you? Yeah. But each of us in that room felt, yeah, this is God for us as a church. And that was all of you would have heard a lot Isaiah 61, but it was the you know, the good news to the poor, building up the brokenhearted, repairers of ruined cities and devastations of many generations. And it was that, and I think part of that was I could see it in Grace Church. I could see Grace Church was a place where people that were on the periphery, that were marginalised, that were broken, could come and be welcome. Because I've experienced that myself. And so part of that rang true when Paul said it, but it felt prophetic in that sense, that actually this is your calling. So in a sense, when I think about what is Grace Church that some other churches aren't, in that sense, and this isn't a criticism, it's just that actually there are places people feel welcome, different people feel welcome in different places. And so some people will walk into another church, a Baptist or whatever, and feel, and that will be good for them, that will fit them. But then there's a group of people that couldn't walk into any church in Bromsgrove other than here. And this is where they'll feel welcome. And this is where they'll settle in. And I think that's part of our calling as a church. I think when Paul was sharing that about Grace Church in particular, that thing about people that are marginalised, that people that feel perhaps rejected, that when it's talking about the poor... As in those without a voice, those that are marginalised. I really felt that was a key for us as a church. So that was it. That was all I wanted to say, I think, on that. And now I'll hand over to Ben.
So, well, I am conscious of time, so that is booming. So my plan, I'm going to stand up so I feel more comfortable, I can look at everybody, is just to talk about where we are at the moment, and in terms of transition, we've obviously, as a church, been in a process of where God seems to be shaking things up and changing things. And there are a couple of prophetic words that I've been given personally that I've shared with the wider leaders when we had a meeting a couple of weeks ago. And it'll be helpful to share something with everybody, because along this journey, God has kind of been affirming us, okay, Ben, I'm in control, I know what I'm doing. And actually, it's helpful for the church to know that as well. So I'm going to start by sharing a couple of those. It won't take long. And then talk about some of prophetic words that we've been given in general that we're looking at and how we're going to move that forward, and use a Bible story as well to illustrate part of the journey we're on. So all of that is going to be done within 7 minutes. So here we go. So the first prophetic word I had was from somebody who was within Grace Church, and it was about 18 months ago, and he used the illustration of a farmer. So if you think of, don't worry about the issues of deforestation right now, but across places where they cut all the trees down, burn everything in order to bring about farming land. And he shared the picture saying, I just feel God is saying to you that there's going to be a time of burning everything back so it goes back to seed, and that actually new growth will come out of that. But his words that stuck with me are, do not fear the fire. So something was going to come, was going to change the playing field, if you like. It was going to be quite dramatic, as it is when you look out over the plains and it's all burnt and there's nothing left. But don't fear the fire. somebody external from the church, who I know from Hope Church, who's quite prophetic, said, had a picture of a cornfield. And that when you are, it plants, it grows, and then when it's ready, you go through and you start taking all the corn off. Everything else gets scythed, burnt, rots, and then it plants again. But everything good seems to be taken away from that. And then you look at the fields going, it's all gone. But actually, the faith is the next year, the harvest comes, it grows again. And so I had those two pictures, and he was saying the same sort of thing, really, going, it's a time when things are going to change and be taken away. So I took that before God, and he developed the picture for me even more to say that even if you think of deforest, when the trees are massive and old and they're cut down, they've been there for a long time, and actually are a main source of life to inhabitants and all things like that. So they have an important role, but actually they're taken away and they can be used in another environment to serve somebody else. If you think of a cornfield, when you take the corn off the top, that is taken to feed somebody, and it might not be the people that are doing it, but they are taken away. It's almost like the best bit gets given away and you're left with the bit that's just messy at the bottom going, well, what's going on there? I've worked so hard for this and now that's all been taken somewhere else. What's that about? So you think of the people that we've had in Grace Church, and there are many, many good people that are still here and many that have gone. But actually God spoke to me saying, do you know what? Sometimes hard things happen to move you on. And there are people that have left Grace Church that may have found, and I know have found, the process of it really, really difficult. But God said, do you know what? They're like those pieces of corn that I've taken out of Grace Church. I've placed them somewhere else. And they will be feeding people somewhere that you will never see the benefit of that, but I will. And when you look at the people that have gone and gone, do you know what? They've gone to be in churches and to serve others, whether it's the trees, be made, an illustration I just had in my head was where they're made into boats. And then people can't get across the water or to save, but actually people are getting in these boats now and being saved. So people that have gone have been moved on, not just because it was a bad time, or not just because they weren't sure, or not just because it felt like a good thing to do, but actually God was saying, you know what, I'm taking these people and they will go and serve me in this position because they have the right food for those people. They have the right resources for what they can bring for the place where they've gone. And so we sometimes feel, oh, we're left with this, and actually I'm very pleased with what is left. So don't mishear me, you are brilliant. And I often think of when Paul writes to the church going, I thank God for you. I genuinely thank God for you guys in Grace Church. It's brilliant. I look at you, warm my heart when I think of the people we have here. It's a special group that are dear to me and to us. But actually what we're left with something is that barrenness going, well, what is this about? So the part of the Bible that I've been working through because I felt like I needed a bit of pick-me-up was the wilderness and Exodus. So I started to read through Exodus going, this will be a good happy hour. So I've been reading through that, and I've got to Exodus 16 and 17, where there's two particular bits where the people are hungry, and they go and he speaks with God and he gives them bread. And then they say, don't take enough for tomorrow, just take today's lot and then you'll be all right. And he gives the message, and then the people go, oh, I'm taking some for tomorrow. They wake up in the morning and it's all worms and all sorts in it. And God is speaking to them, and they're still saying, well, where is God in this? And this is more personally for me, what I'm saying. God. So, and then you go to another bit where they're saying, we're grumbling. And he goes to God, they're grumbling again. He goes, tap the rock, there's going to be water. And the water. And then he names the place after the fact that they were grumbling, they were arguing. And they're saying, well, is God present or not? And there is that question at the end of 17. And I felt God say, do you know what? His promises in his Bible is that he is in our midst and he's about his purpose. His promises, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. That is his church, this town's church, this nation's church, the world's church. So as Grace Church, we are part of his church and he will build it. He is the master builder. He is the cornerstone of Grace Church. And so as we look at the barrenness, I then had a picture of Frankenstein kind of in a dungeon. It was a Frankenstein's table with arms and heads and all sorts of bits. It's a bit gruesome, kind of says what I watch on telly. But thinking of the body of Christ, and actually what it was if you can get past the illustration, there was a body being built, but actually there were like three or four arms. And I just saw God going, well, this is the building phase now. I'm getting people together because that is Grace Church and that arm is for that body. And then this arm could be for the Baptist. But there's a sense of him, God is about a purpose to get the people that he wants in Grace Church to serve in Grace Church. And he's going to get people for the Baptist Church that are going to serve in the Baptist Church. So in terms of the phase of where we're at, I believe the shoots are starting to come through and God is saying, I'm now starting to build. And as I go through the wilderness and read through that, it's the seeds of hope that you have, that what is the purpose? Actually, God is now saying, we're getting to a place now where we're going to start seeing that fruit. And as we scatter seeds and we go back to thinking about what it was when we planted right in the beginning, it was about taking the message and building communities within communities. So it didn't matter whether you're a Christian or not Christian. It wasn't defined by that. It was defined by my community. My community involves my neighbours and it involves you. And as a heart of Grace Church, that has always been at the core of it for me, that it is not a separate entity. When we are in the community, our community is unbelievers and believers. And then, so me being me, think, right, so I need a master plan in how we're going to get there. What are we going to do to get there? Because I'm brilliant, I'm a bloke, I've got loads of ideas, I can do this. And actually, God sat me on my backside and said, you listen to me. And it's not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. That is a word I had, and then there are two other people in the church independently that have had the same word as well, when they've been praying for Grace Church, going, it's not about us trying to do it, actually. It's about seeking the face of God, being on our knees before him and saying, by your Holy Spirit, Grace Church will grow. And seeking him. And that's quite hard sometimes to actually sit and go, God, we're listening to you, and until you speak, I'm not going to make something up here. You need to fill the gap because you are God and relying on him. And it brings you to your knees. It makes you feel a bit nervous, a lot nervous. But actually, that's where God will get us to. And he'll keep doing things until we get to that point where we have nothing left but him. Because that's what he wants. He's jealous for his own name. And so as we seek him for what is next in Grace, as I feel he's building and putting bits together, doesn't mean we do nothing in the process. So at the last members night or family night we had, we talked about things we can do in the community to gather a crowd, to gather people together. And we had a list of things that were shared. And these are some of them. So we had a comedy night. There was a weekly women's group in the day for people, parents to get together. Sunday meals at Charford. A book club, gardening club, hiking, dance, classes. So we had a list of things that have come from people thinking, well, what can we do to gather a crowd? And what we're committed to is that if you think you have something in your heart that you felt can actually gather people to this, and it doesn't matter whether you're church or unchurch, the heart is to build community and to love one another. One of the greatest strengths, if you go through the life groups of the church, is there is a bond that is strong and is authentic and people love one another. For me, that is always at the root of anything, church, because it says, by the way you love one another, they will know that you are my disciples. And that runs through everything that we do and everything that we talk about. So if there are things that you want, and what I will do in a few weeks is just get a list of these things at the back, and you can have a look at them, and I'll tell you when they're there and say, actually, these are things I'd be interested in. It's not just doing these things on your own, it's actually doing it with people that come with you. And say, do you know what, can you come and do this? I want to do a golf day, so I'll be asking a few of you to help me set that up. And then we'll invite our mates and we'll have a good time. If there's things like that that you want to get involved with, that's what we want to see. So we don't stand still, because we still have a wonderful message that God has given us that changes lives. But we are about seeing a vision and a people that are transformed in here, and loving one another and actually transforming the communities by being in those communities and loving those around us and doing it together. And so there have been things we've been talking about, and we've got a family night coming up soon. We've got a weekend away, which we can talk any more in detail about things you want to talk about. But actually the heart behind it now for me is that we are that playing field. Everything has been burnt and there is a fertile land now. But it's our personal response to how we move within that that God is looking for, and how we grow is within us. And we are to encourage one another in that. And actually, there's some prophetic words that we've been meeting up and talking through, which we're looking at the moment. We've Matt and Chrissy spent some time with them. And Therese, spoken with her a couple of times. Just things that God is speaking to us as a church that we may have to actually say, but you know what, God, we are sorry for this. And actually, we're going to put ourselves down and sacrifice ourselves again for God's sake. You've got everything. And as we look into that, we'll share that. But it's something, again, that doesn't start because somebody tells you to do it. It's all individual. Where is your heart with God? And how can we say, do you know what, I lay it all down for you because you alone are worthy of my life. And these guys are my brothers and sisters who I lay my life down for as well. And that's the church that God has called us to and is going to. So as we go forward, keep seeking. Think of it as a level playing field in terms of God is making the ground fertile. And I believe there is a time of blessing coming when you step out, when we step out. I've had conversations with people I've been friends with for a long time last week, and suddenly had a long chat about Christ and church and things that I haven't had for ages. And that came out of a general conversation. You know, I didn't expect it. So I think God is awakening that in us. But to give you that encouragement, do you know what? Where you set your foot, he's ready to take that ground and to encourage you to do that. And as we explore that, there will be things in our own lives we have to put down and say sorry and repent and go. But God is all forgiving and will take us forward on that journey. And we value that immensely. Well, that was a nice sniff. And the only other thing I would say is the word distractions has come up a couple of times when talking to people, and distractions in terms of where we're putting our time and things like that. My point and my argument at the moment when I've looked at that and talked with God and sometimes listened to him, is to say that distractions, for me, a distraction, what is it? It's something that prevents me sharing the gospel and taking the name of Jesus forward. If there is something that is stopping me focusing on that and putting all my energy into something else, for me, that is my distraction. And that's a challenge. What is it that is motivated? What are you motivated to do? Are you aware that people are going to an eternity without him? Or look at the footballer. Some of you may have seen that. 49 years old he was, a manager. He played for, I think it was Tottenham. And you look at him going, that is no age. Did someone share with him the good news of Jesus before that happened? We don't know, do we? When our time is up, it's up. But we have a message that can change lives. And if things are distracting us from that, let's go back to God. God, I don't want to be distracted. I want to share that. And when we encourage one another, finally, so when we encourage one another, let's do it so that we can fulfill what God wants us to do. So if there is something that we see and we think, you know what, that is holding that person back, let's go with the chance to sit down, pray and go, because God has things in store for you to do that are better than what you're seeing at the moment, because he wants to see you come into that fullness. Not, do you know what, that's bad, and then leave it. I want someone to come along and say, Ben, do you know what, you shouldn't have done that. That was, you know, I was seeing that. That isn't reflecting God's glory. Let's pray. Let's get before God and let's seek him so that you can fulfill what God wants you to fulfill. Honesty, in love, truth, in love, is in the Bible. And let's encourage one another to get there together, because he has a purpose for all of us. And that excites me, because I like purpose. And it's the same for all of us. If you have prophetic words, please do bring them to us as a team as well. And we will share them out, because we want to be open. So I want to encourage that, to keep doing that. We're getting better at it. So please do keep that coming. And it is very important. The prophetic in the church is mega important. You see what we've founded on some prophetic words. And there's some there that have helped us through periods of time. So, I don't know. That's all right. Can I stop there? So I don't know if we can stand together. I'd just like to pray for us. And really, it's a personal choice to make before God, and that is for you to do yourselves. But what I want to pray is that the Holy Spirit presents himself to us in a way that we cannot ignore, and that actually when we're feeling like things are hard, and we talk about the story. I said this last week, this is not the end of your story. If things are hard, it's not the end. Okay? God has a way for you. And wherever you're feeling, wherever you're at now, his story isn't finished. Okay, it finishes when we're with him. And we are made perfect and we see him face to face. We fall to our knees and go, surely you are the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. That's the end of our story. He's got a purpose for us now. Together, to love. I need to be loved by you guys. You need me, believe it or not. Because that's God's mission. So I'm just going to pray for the Holy Spirit that he empowers us and speaks to us clearly for what's next. Yeah, Father, I thank you that even when I search through the difficult times, I cannot get away from the cross and Jesus Christ and you crucified Jesus on there going, that is our message, that is our hope, that is our future to be with you. But Lord, I thank you that wherever we are at personally, that you come to us personally and say, you know, I can meet your needs. I am your needs. You said that, I am. And Holy Spirit, I pray now that as we seek your face, Lord, I pray, and it is a scary prayer, but if I am not hearing you clearly, Lord, would you humble me to be on my knees to seek your face and say, you first, seek ye first the kingdom, and all these other things will be added unto you. Seek ye first the kingdom. I pray, Lord, as a church, I thank you for this church. Lord, you have put me here for a purpose. And that is to be loved by these guys and to serve these guys together. And I thank you for what they give to me and the way that they love me and embrace me and persevere with me. But Lord, this is your church. And you say you will build your church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And I pray, would you put new seeds of hope in us? Lord, rebirth old seeds of hope that have just been dampened down or trampled on to grow. And give us God ideas for what you want us to do, who you want us to meet, where you want us to pray. Jesus, speak to us prophetically, I pray. Give us many visions and dreams and words where we can stay close to you and hear your voice as a family, as a body. And may we be obedient to your word, your scripture. That is our plumb line, that what says in there, may we be a church that reflects that and loves your word and you and each other. And Jesus, it's all for your glory and it's all for your church and your majesty. And we look forward to that day when we will see you with nothing holding us back, but we will just fall on our knees and say, surely you are the Son of God, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Jesus, we love you. Father, we love you. Holy Spirit, we love you. Amen.